stupidman.com, you swine.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
But I feel good too.
Podcast number 17. Anyway, you know me. I'm EBA. This is Sir Mildred Pierce, and we have back again.
Woo!
Dave. Where are the keys, Carl? Are they in the car? Anyway. Yeah. And this is a unique podcast. It's the All Outtakes podcast.
Holy crap.
Nothing but outtakes. This is stuff that got cut out. We cut out a lot. When we do the podcast, we cut out. The actual recording is probably about 4 hours long, 5 hours long sometimes.
Yes, I'm big here for about 5-6 hours.
Out of that, we get about an hour and a half, including the songs. A lot of stuff gets cut. A lot of stuff
Everything else is rubbish.
Yeah.
This is the rubbish episode.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a lot of stuff here that I feel like is really good, but it just kind of ruined the flow or, you know, just seemed a little too weird or... Some of it's just, I don't know what you're going to call it. So this is the All Outtakes podcast, and, you know, hey.
Cool, I hope I don't say something really stupid.
Of course you do.
Oh, okay.
Hi, kids. Please remember to send all emails to SirMildredPierce@gmail.com and EBAOFVN@gmail.com. Thanks.
You can always contact us at our, you know, with our email addresses. Check us out at podcast.shapelessmass.com or at my website, shapelessmass.com.
Or your MySpace page.
I don't have a MySpace page.
Asia.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
lies.
You do.
Those are filthy lies. Those are filthy lies perpetrated by the liberal media.
The lie rule.
I think...
Yeah. The liberal media.
I think everybody's got a MySpace page.
Yeah.
Even George Bush has a MySpace page. Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Who's in his friends list?
Sarah.
Saddam Hussein.
You know, someone keeps creating a Jesus Christ MySpace page, and they keep deleting it.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It's a bummer.
That's sad.
The Donald Rumsfeld weblog got shut down, too.
As well it should have.
Yeah. So it wasn't real. Like, it wasn't actually Donald Rumsfeld.
Condoleezza Rice have one?
She should.
She's sexy.
In a synthetic, like...
Robot.
Yeah.
I like the way she wears her hair.
I am comprised of a series of ones and zeros.
I like long hair.
She's a Google?
That's right. And this is exactly the type of stuff cut out of every episode. It's the conversation we just had. It's normally I would edit that out, so... Yep, and I hope you enjoy. This is we're going to do one of these every once in a while when we get basically enough outtakes. I don't know what there's no method to the madness. It's just kind of throwing darts at a board.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I wanted to play that Gnarls Barkley, the crazy.
Yeah.
Funny I should say, you know it's crazy, but we never really said why we played it or what. Why?
That got cut out.
Did it?
Yeah, it wasn't very interesting.
That's crazy.
I cut it out, like, from your mind before you said it, so.
What? Why did we want to play it? I mean...
Well, because last time I was on a podcast, we talked about Gnarls Barkley, and you never heard it.
Yeah, and you're like...
A couple podcasts
later. Isn't he a basketball player?
Yeah, you thought it was Charles Barstow.
Well, and the name's a takeoff on his name.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart because I didn't even think about that.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I swear.
No, Dave Mooney.
You know, it's a coincidence.
No, I just. Gnarls, Barkley. Gnarls, like gnarly. Yeah. Barkley. I didn't really think of Charles Barkley.
Oh, damn. My God.
Even when I said it.
My sides hurt.
Your MySpace.
Yeah. So. Here we go, and it's just going to kind of go wherever it goes from here. So there's no real cohesive element to it.
But there's always Bubblicious.
Yes.
Hubba Bubba. It's Hubba Bubba.
It is.
Hey, anybody who likes Aeon Flux, sorry guys, but you suck.
Dude, that was such a disappointment.
Yeah, the cartoon
is the ever-loving shiznits, but that movie did
fail.
I didn't
like,
see it.
Do you see them like flying to kick somebody? But
the dynamic angles, the dynamic angles that they took in the cartoon, the directing that person did in the cartoon was so.
Chung is unparalleled.
Well, I think the beauty of it was just so ambiguous as to what.
Yeah, you had no idea what was going on.
And the movie totally lacked that.
Yeah, it tried to explain everything without beauty.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, I actually wanted to be like, what the fuck is this?
Part of the reason...
You can't have Aeon Flux without what the fuck is this.
Part of the reason Aeon Flux, the series, was so intriguing was because you wanted to watch more to figure out what was going to happen next.
And you never knew which order
you never knew.
It
yeah. Like, yeah, I was so confused, but also like, yo, this shit is crazy.
Even when they would show them in sequence, you'd still be like,
they
what?
Had like the set and the actors, and they could have filmed a really awesome movie. They just could have fucked it up. Even
I did not like Charlize Theron. To me,
I kind of agree with that.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, I know that it's not necessarily what they'd be considering pretty. Maybe some people do, but
maybe the problem is you just can't capture that in a real person.
I think that...
Like, well, have you looked at Aeon Flux's dimensions? She's like 52, 3, 75.
Yeah, but also the way she acted and stuff like that, just who she was. I mean, it's
well,
a cartoon.
I mean,
that,
no, you
eyeglasses could have done it. Don't have like, a figure like that.
Ballet dancers could have accomplished it. I mean, like, a ballet dancer, a really...
They could have done some crouching tiger hidden dragon.
She shouldn't have had really big breasts. She should have been a really skinny, slender, almost sickly looking, because to me, that's what ate, but tough. But very lean, you know what I'm saying?
Clissa Flockhart,
you know,
as Aeon Flux, she kicks the ass of the dancing baby.
How about River?
The dancing baby,
River cutting out.
River's hot too.
But
she's got the. I feel bad because she's like underage. So I shouldn't say that.
No, she's not.
Not now.
She's always been older than she played.
Really? How old is she?
He's like
14 or 16 or something like that.
Because she dated the guy that played Simon.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's weird. That is so weird.
Which one's Simon?
That's why they had such a good chemistry.
Yeah,
they talked about, like, in Mystery Science 2000, they did the movie Iga, and the guy who played the father was dating the guy who played the daughter, and they talked about, in the book, they said that just weirded everybody out. They're like, you could tell, and you can tell when you watch the movie, there's, like, this thing going on in their acting, you know? Anyway.
So why do they always like land in fields of rednecks when they could land in
field of rednecks, like just a bunch of rednecks standing elbow to elbow?
So that they really bald.
Like, why don't they land in the city?
Why don't they land at like Pizza Hut if they're really coming for pizza? Come on, now let's be realistic here. This is the nose pencil.
Well, I think
you're not allowed to talk anymore.
I think they land out in the rural areas, and then they just order out delivery.
Yeah, the odds are better of landing in a rural area, because there's more rural areas.
Yeah, of course.
That is true, but I'm pretty sure that they...
And I think they're not like, stupid, and they're going to think that, like...
They got
cloaking
devices, don't they?
Plus, it'll be a lot harder to find parking.
You sure do got a pretty bad one. Why don't you drop them pants?
Drop.
did it to clear it, the stress in me was sensory. The chemistry might want me in the ministry, but misery instilled with me corruption, claiming ecstasy. And I knew it's time, my head to feel the pain. It was needed so I see what caused deception in the game.
Back in the day when every hip-hop act had a DJ,
yeah.
In the song, in the music videos to the songs, they would always show the DJ with his turntables, and they would do one of two things that always struck me as weird, okay? Either they would be out, like, on the street, no musical equipment anywhere, and the DJ, when it came to the scratch parts, would do air scratching.
Yeah.
You know, just... You know, move his hands and make it look like he was scratching records.
It's like
you do. Yeah, but I don't know. I think everybody does that type of stuff. But then the other thing that was even weirder to me, and it's weirder more in a musical context, was when the people were rhyming and the DJ didn't have any, and even in songs where there were no scratching, the DJ would just be in there with his turntables. He would still be scratching, you know, in the video, but there would be no sound. Which I always thought was weird, because you never see, like, a band, like a rock band, you know, like the guitar, and the guitar is just, like, playing, but there's no guitar.
Right.
People would be like, well, what the fuck, you know, but that's something that used to happen all the time in hip-hop videos back in the day. I don't know.
It probably happens in other videos. I think it probably just stands out more.
Yeah, probably.
With the scratching, because, if somebody's holding the guitar, you know, you're not really going to notice whether they're playing it or not.
Unless there's a
close-up or something, but...
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, if you're filming a video, syncing up everything is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So.
Do you know that Augusta is the only place I have ever seen a liquor store called a spirit store? What the fuck is that?
North Augusta? Have you driven around North Augusta yet?
Do they call it a Christian store?
No. But what it is, this is the truth. All liquor stores are owned by the state. They're franchised out to people.
ABC.
Yeah. They're all called package stores, and they all have to have that big red circle on them.
The red dot shop.
Yeah, it's like Japan. Come buy your liquor here. You know, I don't get it myself. Yeah, because every time I see it, I'm like, the Japanese flag.
So what are they trying to incorporate? I mean, like, you can't drink on Sunday, okay? So
actually, in Clearwater, you can.
Well, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying. Augusta. I'm speaking specifically.
Oh, yeah. Because
every city's got to have its drawing feature, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like,
that's ours.
Clearwater's got
to... Come to Augusta. We don't drink on Sunday.
We don't drink on Sunday. We call our liquor stores spirit stores.
Go smoke a joint instead. Get fucked up.
I think it's a county by county thing.
Savannah.
I don't think that's all of Augusta.
No, Georgia. All of Georgia.
Really?
It's all of Augusta.
It's not Georgia passed a smoking ban.
I don't know what the hell I'm looking for. It's like listening to our bell.
Except for death threats on his wife.
Who, on our bell's wife?
Yeah. That's why he quit the first one, I think.
It was death threats on his son.
No, he killed his wife.
In the future.
In the future. With John Teeter.
The help of Tom Cruise.
Yeah. That's plausible.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
When moi je crache, je suis mon lit à bouffer ta langue en buvant.
It was
sex.
There were definitely people back then that thought the world was going to end in 1666, and they took that as proof.
What about the year 666? You know, the funny thing about that is people don't understand the root of that. It's all based on the Hebrew language. I know I've told you this too, but I'm gonna enlighten our listeners.
And me.
The Hebrew language, which is where this comes from, it's basically this, okay? The number of God. The Hebrew language is all numbers. And you can see this if you check out the really excellent movie Pi by Arfanosky, I think his name is.
His other movie is rubbish.
It's the guy who did...
Pi wasn't that great.
Requiem for a Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought Pi was really good.
The ending, eh.
You know, developed that whole stationary camera strapped to the person technique that everybody does now. Yeah. That was the film he
did. Like Fear Factor.
Yeah. Anyway, if you watch that, it gives you a good basis for this. Where I learned this, actually. But the entire Hebrew language is based on numbers. And it's mathematically interwoven so that there's all sorts of additions and multiplications and so forth that can produce other words and so forth. I think it's an absolutely fascinating element of that language. Anyway, the number for man is 6. The number for God is 3. So in the Hebrew language, and this is true, a person tripling 6, saying 666, is a man making mankind God, putting himself above God, which was considered a great blasphemy and a great sin. So that's where that whole 666 thing comes in. It has nothing to do with the devil, has nothing to do with Satan, has nothing to do with devil worship. It is a blasphemous idea, but it's American culture that's hijacked it. 666 is the number of the beast. And the interesting thing is, in the Bible, there is a number of the beast, but it's not 666.
Iron Maiden hijacked that shit.
The Bible never says what the number of the beast is, ever. It never says, the number of the beast is, it never says 13, you know. It's 27, you know. All these people running around. I'm almost done. Talking about this type of stuff.
I hope this makes it in.
All the people talking about the world's going to end on this day according to God. Don't read the Bible, obviously, because the Bible says very clearly in Revelations when it talks about the end times that it will be like, and I'm quoting now, a thief in the night. Meaning, and it says this too. I'm paraphrasing here, that you will not know the day, you will not know the hour. Nobody knows when the world's going to end. Everyone was talking about, 1999, the year 2000, God's going to end the world. And I was like, you know, my Bible, I say everybody, you know what I mean, shut the fuck up. In my Bible that I read.
I heard you say it.
Bible that I read, the God that I know would end it on, December 2nd, 1999. Just to catch everybody off their guard, you know what I mean?
You read the Jack Chick Bible.
That's right.
He should do an illustrated Bible. Everything in the Bible illustrated by Jack Chick.
I don't know, because what I know about Jack Chick, I have a feeling there are parts of the Bible that he thinks are blasphemous. You know, Todd was telling me one of the most fascinating Bible verses I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Bible verse, you have to ask him about it, that's something to the effect of, the women dreamed that their men were hung like stallions with emissions like donkeys.
Hmm.
They had genitals like stallions with emissions like donkeys, meaning that they came like donkeys, basically. That's in the Bible.
That's great. I hope it's not in the podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, man,
my grandfather.
When we become famous one day, when we're all famous one day, they'll play this. they'll take snips of this and they'll reword it back together out of context.
They'll make us look like Satan worshippers.
They'll make us look like
shit. Yeah, they said Satan, like so they're going to use that. And
they'll make us look awful later on in life. They'll take this tape and they'll flip it and reverse it.
It'll go, win!
I
read the Bible, I think of worshiping Satan.
Yeah, they'll accept the audio.
You said they're gonna cut our words up and rearrange them.
Those bastards.
And
those fucking on board bastards.
How many years from now?
So you don't even have to worry about talking shit about like Michael Jackson and whoever.
They're gonna make it to where you sound like you're fucking sound up anyway.
Yeah.
Damn,
worse than I already sound.
Anyway, I think if your grandma ain't kick your ass after as many times as you said you fucked up, she ain't gonna kick your ass about that.
But if you're talking about the Bible, huh? Will she kick your ass for talking about the Bible?
That's what I was talking about. I was talking about the Bible.
Alright.
Yeah. Bob Saget, dude. Bob Saget is an asshole. He is mean.
I heard he was just really crass.
Oh my gosh.
But he is not a family friendly
dude. No, he's not a family friendly dude at all.
I mean, he gives you that impression because of the shows he's done, but he's like, if you've ever seen a stand-up comedy, he's like X-rated. Like.
Well, I heard a story about him when his first daughter was born. Did you hear that story?
No.
Yeah, I heard it.
You heard that?
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to talk about it.
I have to know now.
I only remember the punchline, but...
Is this good, because I don't know...
No,
this probably is by now.
I heard it's what he really said.
I didn't hear it from him, but I heard it from the guy that he supposedly heard it, told it to, like on a webpage or something. And like he went to go see him in the hospital right when the baby was born, and Bob Saget was holding the baby, and you know the guy was saying how cute she was and stuff like that, and Bob Saget was like, "Yeah, you want to finger her?"
My God.
I'll let you finger her for a dollar or something.
Was that something like that, yeah. I think that was actually what it said.
Maybe he was so overcome with like joy.
Nah.
He couldn't quite adequately express himself.
I think he was always.
And maybe what he meant was you can hold her.
And no, I think he was, what he
like,
did
like,
was
like he was he looking at her say, little finger.
You want a finger for a dollar.
He was looking at her little finger.
I can mistake that, right?
That's the way his comedy is.
So he's like looking at her, work with me here because I'm trying to.
It's not going to be funny.
Four.
Hopefully we're going to edit all that shit out. Maybe an outtake. Maybe might make a good outtake.
The Bob Saget outtake.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should see the Bob Saget rap. It's hot.
Let me drink your wine. Alright? I'll prove to you that Bloody Mary is not a real thing. I'll prove it to you right now. I can prove it to you.
This is how horror movies start, nigga. Don't you know those dudes of color?
No. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Okay?
No.
This is how I'm going to prove it to you. Check it out, okay?
Come on, man.
Watch this. How do you do Bloody Mary?
Turn off the lights and say Bloody Mary in a mirror 5 times.
How do you do Bloody Mary?
I don't know.
How do you do Bloody Mary?
I really don't know.
You don't know. How do you do Bloody Mary?
Fuck, why not? I never done it.
Yeah.
I was told you say Bloody Mary 3 times, turn the lights off, and she appears behind you in the mirror.
You try. Hey, see, you little bastard.
Whoa.
He tried to get us to say it.
Wait a minute.
Three people just
said it. Sit down. Okay.
No.
Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what I said? They weren't the same thing.
But it's pretty close. You think this ghost really gives a shit? I'm serious.
Wait, this motherfucker's been smart up to now.
If she doesn't give a shit, then why would you do that to begin with? Why would she just appear whenever she wanted to and kill people?
Mary,
she's fucking with you.
Mary, I am not a part of this.
She's a woman, dog. We will never understand.
She got a real bleeding, that'd be one way to do it. That's all I'm saying.
It's a woman. She ain't only bleeding like 2 days out of the month or 3 days out of the month. She bleeding every fucking day, man. You know that's a bad bitch.
Is that what they got for her?
Nah, man.
That's why they call her Bloody Mary?
They call her Bloody Mary because she chopped off a lot of fucking heads.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with her menstruating.
Well,
that damn queen menstruates a lot.
Well, now she bleeding all the time.
She got a funny smell.
Yo, now she bleeding all the time, and she always in somebody's bathroom because they neck and shit, man. She always got some blood on her. I know she is.
Well, I think she gets the blood from people she cuts her head off.
Yeah, that she cut all their heads off. So she, like, if she appeared, she'd probably be like, blood be coming down her
throat. She'd throw a tampon on that.
My balloon, man. You always try to pop
some blood. Cut the person's head off, throw a tampon on
her. I am going to give her 2 thumbs up.
See, when I'm in the car, I like to do 2 things. I like to look at license plates and read the like 3 letters and think of what the acronyms mean. You do that too? I figured everybody did that. And like when I see numbers, I like to translate them into Spanish. So I'd be like, speed limit 45.
I actually have amused myself on long trips by myself playing the anal game with cars.
Okay.
You add anal, it's the beginning of the word, of the car title.
Anal Expedition.
Yeah, Anal Expedition, Anal Explorer, Anal Jamboree, Anal Stingray, Anal
Hummer.
It is funny, dude.
Not really.
To you, but, you know, you have to cut loose. You know, adults can do immature things sometimes.
What do you mean?
That's why they're immature.
Not constantly, though.
Who said constantly?
Boy, you're pretty much constantly.
From you know,
anal expedition.
And I am pretentious.
Anal excursion. Anal.
So
it's just about Subaru. Any SUV. You put anal before.
Interesting enough, it works best on SUVs.
Anal Sequoia.
So like the larger the now you're laughing too. The larger the vehicle,
because it makes sense.
The larger the vehicle, the more interesting. And also there's the probe.
The anal probe.
The anal caravan. You know. Caravan. I think Navigator is probably my favorite because it just paints such a picture, you know? Like that's someone's choice method of moving around.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
I know what time it is. Y'all need to be chosen. Full effect. Evidence. Put out one of my eyes and I still got 2. Triple lock, rock. They put out the second one and I can still see you. I affect your chemistry, your macromolecules, cells, and groups of cells called tissues, organs, organ system, organism, population, communities, ecosystems, walks in the road in the valley of decision, prophets and charlatans both speak vision, so this descendant of African survivors, so-called Indian tribes and a Korean love child. Birth name rocker, peeps name me Ira Style, or Ira Science, possessor of the secret vibe, a student on these LA blocks, ever since I first saw the train that ran Jerry Cox, a triple optometrist, mental megalopolis, we never fall though, turntables might wobble, baboon. drop the obelisk on this. Guaranteed hot shit, triple locked in. Put out one of my eyes and I still got two. Put out the second one and I can still see you. Triple locked in. Put out one of my eyes and I still got you. Put out the second one and I can still see you. Triple locked in. I say make moves, but watch your paper trail. And right before the boom, I saw the vapor trail. On my mark, engage your subconscious. Veteran of many successful subconscious. You blast, I blast, and then what? It's the automatics if you don't blast fast enough. Luciferians tearing up various areas. I rock slow, but crack them sound barriers. As I step, the intelligence plane, invisible to radar. From the clouds, I'll make it rain, swoop down, survey. If they chase like Charlie back up, I synchronize three eyes like Bob Marley. Triple optic, though you use them optics to camouflage yourself with elements and objects. I rock project yard and township yule. I make the people listen, boogie down and move. Put out one of my eyes and I still got two. Put out the second one and I can still see you. Triple optic. Put out one of my eyes and I still got two. Put out the second one and I can still see you. Triple optic. Triple the colorful bomber creates a devastate style. We redefine the state of the art as we go. And bust ifs, egos, and super egos. Grab you with my talents and fly you to the mountains. Where you can meditate on inner harmony and balance. Audio, video, spiritual wars. I move like the spook, sat by the door. Put out one of my eyes and I still got two. Put out the second one and I can still see you. Triple optics. And I still got two. The name is Ira Science, that's my man Babu. Triple optic. Backbone of hip hop, Chisley's Homestead. Lyricist, backbone of hip hop, is the Dolly. Backbone of hip hop, is the DJ. Backbone of hip hop, is the DJ. Optics, live and direct, dilated people, Ira Science, Baboon, evidence is in the house, and that's how we do it, no doubt.
The way the characters are done,
dude, I mean, it makes you mad.
Paul Rubens is a vampire, you can't knock it.
I think he was in the movie.
Yeah?
Well, he didn't have anything to do with the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he wrote the movie, too.
He didn't even come up with the whole Buffy universe thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That was Joss Whedon.
Oh. He didn't write the movie, though.
He did?
Mm-mm.
No, that's his universe, though. He made... Didn't he make the universe?
He definitely built
the Buffy universe.
I mean, it had to over, like, seven seasons, I think it was on.
Wait, no. So, okay, so he didn't actually...
But he didn't come up with the initial premise, because he didn't write the movie, I mean...
Did he come up with
Angel?
I didn't
know that.
Yeah.
I thought he did.
Angel's an offshoot of Buffy, isn't it? Like a spinoff?
Yep. But Angel wasn't a character in the first season.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
don't
he
so.
Like he was a character that Joss
Whedon. I don't even think like fans of the series consider the movie like subject, part of the whole
it's
mythology.
Not, it's not.
It's almost like a remake of the movie.
Like they ignored the movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they just like went back and said she's not a ditzy retard blonde. She's, you know. Because that's what the girl in the first one was meant to be, one of those bubblegum chewing.
It was played by
like,
that chick on Mary the Children, I think.
Christina Applegate, wasn't
it? Wasn't it?
No,
it wasn't.
Are you sure?
I'm not.
Yeah, I know exactly what her name is, but I can't recall it. I do know it, though.
I thought it was Christina Applegate, but it doesn't matter. She's stupid and blonde, and that's all.
Yeah.
So you don't want a chocolate, man? This is...
good chocolate.
Yeah, it's a big glob of chocolate fat.
It's not that big. It is probably fat in there.
It's probably more fat than the actual, like, area occupied by the chocolate, though.
It's like a chocolate TARDIS.
Yeah. like a fat TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, fat TARDIS is what they used to call this guy I knew in high school. Anyway.
I think the funniest thing that ever happened in that war was them bombing the Chinese embassy. And everybody's thinking, oh, your maps are wrong. Okay, that's cool. I mean, like, of all things, you might just happen to bomb the Chinese embassy.
Oh, who did? America?
Yeah.
How did he bomb?
They said the maps were wrong. They thought it was a...
There's a big old Chinese flag on the top of the building. Like, maybe it's, maybe shit. Somebody just...
Would you like a pamphlet? Oh, God!
Yeah. I don't...
Welcome to China.
Yeah.
Damn.
We have race. Come say... Ah, bam!
They thought it was a legitimate military target, whoever was...
doing the targeting? Like the five people that have to clear a damn bomb to go off?
Yeah. Well...
Or more?
Yeah. I think it's just...
Niela es crap.
So, did I ever tell you about my birthday in Europe?
I don't think so.
I had several, but one distinct one. You're gonna like this story. I'm surprised I've never told you this before either. We were in France, okay? And we were on, they had this, I don't remember what it's called, you might even know. It's this very, very large man-made lake. It's square. It's perfectly square.
Right.
Okay? Does this ring a bell at all? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it's called or anything.
But you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's next to an old castle that is a hotel. And some family came. My uncle and my aunt came to see us while we were in France. I think maybe they came to Germany and we drove to France. And they've always been the most successful members of my entire family, probably, because he's the laser physicist, and you know, they've always had a lot of money. And we stayed at that hotel that was also a castle. It's probably the most expensive hotel anyone in my family aside from them has ever stayed in, right? And you have to picture this regal, I mean, like, when you think of like a castle and like an expensive like five-star hotel in Europe, then get that picture in your mind, okay? Because it had chandeliers with probably real gold and diamonds on them, and like expensive lush carpets and tapestries hanging on the wall, and it looked like a, you know, straight out of like the 14th century, and you could almost hear like harpsichord music playing. Well, we went out, my dad, my uncle, and I went out to celebrate my birthday for me, because I'm a little kid. We went out to the
McDonald's.
No, we went out to the lake that was there within walking distance of this magnificent castle, and we rented paddle boats. My dad, my uncle were going to take me on a paddle boat. The paddle boat we got, for some reason, had this... Have you heard the story of
it? It doesn't matter.
These two pieces of plastic molded together, they came together to, you know, at this joint, and it somehow got stuck in there was this little six-pack ring. You know, I'm talking about the plastic rings that the six-packs go in. And here I am in the middle of France, surrounded by all this magnificent history. What am I obsessed with? I'm obsessed with the six-pack things. I'm trying to pull it out, right? Now, if you've ever been in a paddle boat, they make a lot of noise. I mean a lot of noise. Like, picture, like, two people, like, doing speed swimming, how loud that is.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. So you can understand why they didn't hear when I fell in to the lake, okay? Now, the only memory I have of this, there's two distinct memories. I remember being obsessed with the ring. I remember not being scared because I was fascinated. It was crystal clear water. You could see all the way down to it, which had to be like 20, 30 feet deep. I don't know. I have no gauge of how deep it actually was. It could have been 5 feet deep. But what was fascinating to me was the floor of the lake was like moving green marble. Is it all the seaweed that just kind of swayed with the currents of it? I remember being, like, mesmerized. It was beautiful. And I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't fallen in, either.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was all just, you know, wake behind us. You couldn't really see out the sides or anything. The only way you could see it is if you were in the lake. And people, I don't remember people swimming in that lake. The water was very cold. And my dad, like, freaked out, you know. Oh, my God, my son's going to drown. Hops in, you know. And I think if I remember right, he swam to shore. I think we swam back. I think getting in a paddle boat from water is, like, next to impossible.
Yeah.
And so here are the picture, the two of us walking back through this extremely, like, rich, like, lush medieval castle / hotel. And we're just sopping wet. And we're the only people who are wet, you know?
Right.
It was just a very vivid memory. And I remember thinking as a kid, this is weird. You know? That's one of my poignant memories of
friends. Yes.
Yeah. And that was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks.
Carrie is very boring.
No. Al Gore is very boring. So we're talking
boring about Bush. Bush. I suspect he's interesting, but like when he talks, it's like these brain waves into my head. I can't even listen to him. It's so hard to explain.
I like the hand gesture.
Bush is a retard. When he tries to speak, you can see this man is clutching so hard. Like he stuttered.
He's fucking with my brain.
John Kerry.
I'm serious, man.
Bush.
Yeah, Bush just, he looks
crazy. Because Bush is actually an android, too.
He looks like a bird. Anybody notice that?
He's an android that's being operated by, like, five different people. They're not communicating with each other, you know? So he's getting, like, conflicting, you know, things to say. So he's like, yes, the war in Iraq is good for healthcare.
He doesn't have
benefits,
which hump in his back,
come from the lower environment.
Prices.
You know what I'm talking about? You seen that?
Like the Secret Service shit.
Hey, man. Hey, all right.
So anyway,
right, we're back on politics. What the hell?
Well, we're talking about, I mean, we can't
it's a
help it.
It's a political
movie.
So anyway, okay.
Animal testing, and I keep in mind my dad's actually done it. That's my first job. It was 1 week. Okay, my first paying job. I got paid minimum wage, which at the time was like $5 an hour. My dad, research scientist, okay, working at Fort Gordon in Georgia, he was researching, basically, he researched cancer for the bulk of his career, and he was researching splenomegaly cancer, which is cancer of the spleen. And what happened is, in the past, when you got cancer of the spleen, they took the whole spleen out. That was it. And the spleen's a part of your body that produces I think it's antibodies for your blood, basically. Maybe not necessarily antibodies, but it produces the stuff in your blood that fights diseases. Like, maybe not just blood, maybe it's antibodies in general. I don't remember. I'm old and nebulous. I used to know better.
Anyway, need it for your immune system.
So, yeah. And so, removing the spleen, of course, you have to be on medication to fight diseases and blah, blah, blah. But they came up with a theory that could they remove parts of the spleen, how effective would the, fight? So this was what they did. They got a bunch of rats. They took a bunch of rats that didn't have their spleens removed, and then they got a bunch of rats, and they removed little portions of the spleen, like 50%, 30%, 10%, 70%, so forth. They took all those rats, and then they injected them with diseases, and then saw how long it took the rats to die. Sounds terrible. But what was cool was I got paid, along with some of the other kids from the other doctors, who were all about my age. We all were brought in, and basically we helped them prepare the rats. They took the rats, they gave them some sort of gas. So they kept them in these rooms. I remember you go hang out. It was the coolest place to go hang out. Was he worked? He had all these rats, and he had all these computers. He's like, at the time, like these majorly high tech computers, like thousands of dollars. Where now it's like, ooh, 512 kilobytes of RAM. Yay! Like, wow, that's like the high tech, Ooh, a Bernoulli box can now save 10 megabytes worth of information. Wow, So, there was that for me. And it's just a weird place, too, because it used to be a World War II hospital. Mm-hmm. And so they took us out there, and our job was to prepare the rats. They gassed all the rats so that they were all asleep. And they took and they placed all the rats on trays, and there were these trays of unconscious rats, like laid out just on their bellies. And we each had different jobs, and we would trade out the jobs. One of us had to tag the ears. We put this little thing looked like a pair of pliers, just went chunk and put a tag on the ears. One of us shaved the rats' bellies. One of us swabbed the rats with iodine on the belly, and then another one of us would take the rats in and bring the rats out. And then they had someone who was not one of us, because they wanted to make sure who was like marking down all the ear tags and putting them back in their cages and so forth. Well, and then they were preparing the rats for surgery. It was like a assembly line, because they were constantly performing surgery on the rats, removing spleens. Okay, this one we're taking off 50%. It was weird because it was just like in like the medical dramas you see on TV, where it's like four or five doctors in a sterile place all huddled around, but they're huddled around a rat. And so I thought it was awesome. It was one of the best times I ever had. I got paid really well at the time. I was like 12. And $5 an hour, that's like a fortune.
Yeah.
And the only time I got sick, I didn't get sick at seeing the rats. I didn't get sick being around the rats. But we had this massive bucket of iodine that we constantly had to fill up. Because we had basically it was this big metal pail that had a big paintbrush in it, like you'd paint your house with. And that's what we swabbed the rats' bellies with. And we had to fill that up every once in a while. And I went to fill it up, and the fume just about knocked me out. So
yeah,
that's my that was my very first job.
Aww. Mine was shoveling horse shit.
But you got to be around horses and shit, so you're covered on two of your favorite things.
$6 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine was a Dairy Queen, I think.
Were you shoveling horse shit and swabbing rats?
Kinda.
Swabbing rat bellies.
Kinda.
You'd be surprised what they make those blizzards out of. Yeah.
Whatever the customer wants.
Yes, I'd like a horse shit blizzard, please.
And rat spleen blizzard, too.
I think probably W, the most explicit thing he's done is, hey, honey, let's do it with the lights on.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which.
You know that's illegal in the state of Georgia.
What, to have sex with lights on?
Yep.
What's position?
It's a law that's never been, kicked out yet.
That's because the people who passed that law had, wives that looked like cows, literally, so they didn't want to see them. So they figured,
you pass a fucking law.
Like a pirate eating his food in the dark.
It was like, what happened was like, man, my wife looks like a cow when I fuck her. Man, there ought to be a law! Okay.
Hey, what position does the president and his wife have sex in?
Is this a joke?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I don't know.
Well, she always has to be on top, because all he knows how to do is fuck up.
All right.
Now you got to imagine the president having sex. And,
I know, I was like,
all right, how do you rate that joke?
I give it
that I get that event right there.
It was a funny joke. So I'll give it 3 thumbs up. Yeah, but then you gotta think
I don't know which is more horrifying, thinking about him or her. Like, Laura is not exactly...
So she's actually a
now they're daughters.
Those crazy eyes.
Holy shit.
And the daughter. And dad.
And apparently...
puppy.
Apparently their daughters, if you got booze, they'll blow you or something. Because, you know...
They're wild.
Yeah.
That was all the news, like, for the first couple years.
Presidential girls gone wild.
Yeah. For real?
No.
Oh.
There was a sex scandal where they apparently had sex with Secret Service people to get them booze. This was like back before they were elected. You didn't know
that? You think about that Forrest Whitaker movie. With Katie Holmes?
This was in the news.
They wouldn't know. They didn't have sex with a Secret Service guy.
I want to see proof, and then I want to put it out.
It was like
there.
Alleged.
That was in that movie.
I believe
it
out there.
It was alleged.
I want to leak
it. Whether it was true or not, doesn't matter. It's all in the public record now.
Did you read that on the internet?
Doesn't matter if it's true. Yeah, I read that in the internet.
Yeah.
This is probably not true, but it doesn't matter. It's still a good story. You still get to imagine those. I mean, they're hot.
Yeah, but when you're
fucking Bush daughters.
When it's published on the radio.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, you wouldn't fuck the Bush daughters. Have you looked at the Bush daughters, man?
Nope.
Chelsea Clinton.
One of them
was even more of a dog.
I would do it just to make President Bush pissed off. I would stick it in their ass.
He wouldn't give a shit.
Actually, we did.
He didn't give a shit about anything.
Make a strong point. I wouldn't.
He probably wouldn't even. He probably would not even understand.
He's so coked out.
Who?
He's coked out. How the hell else do you choke on a fucking pretzel?
And his brother. Isn't his brother's wife named Columbia?
Are you serious?
I think so.
Is Jim's wife
named Mexican? I think she's Mexican.
His nostrils are like awful. They're gagger size.
Got testicles?
Balls, balls, balls.
Nuts, nuts, nuts.
I thought that was brilliant.
Is one good pair of big balls, balls as big as grapefruits, balls
my balls are big. Sometimes I wish they were bigger, even bigger. Big as the wheels on tractors, big as the golden arches, big as the golden gate bridge, big as the state of Kansas, big as Mars and Jupiter, big as a swing of Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods.
The English hate the Australians. They hate the Irish and the Scottish. They basically hate anybody they've occupied who, you know, they, you know, I mean, they probably hate the Canadians too. And they certainly, we're like their closest ally. Probably because we're the only, you know, that's interesting because we're the only kind of, one of the only countries that like defeated them as part of the revolution. Like most of the countries that tried to revolt didn't succeed. So, you know, that's probably a lot of the reason why they hate those people. Like they look
what are we talking about? England or Australia?
I was talking about England.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be talking about Australia.
See these guys. Come on, that's the police. I've been saw that.
Yeah.
Isn't Grandma Van? You look like a police officer now.
Yes, I do. I look just, hey, man, it's awesome. I go out to eat and people like treat me with respect.
Seriously? I'm so stupid. Man, I've been sitting here looking
at And when I walk downtown, like, you know, people, you know, like, well, homeless people come up to you with, you know, they don't walk up to me when they see the hat. The first thing they see is the word police, and they're like, hey, man,
people think you're the police, you're still wearing that hat. Man,
people are stupid.
You're like the Delta Force cop. You got the long hair and the beard.
You would think like this would be a dead giveaway. Hey, he's well, not a cop.
I bet he's a.
Looks like you.
How about the goatee?
That's just being kind of high ranking cop.
Is this the regulation 4-inch goatee here?
If you're that,
you see your service behind the scenes.
Right. I'm undercover. Don't tell anybody.
But that's exactly look, he's wearing a Gustav police. I'm thinking, of course he's not a police officer if he's ready.
But no, for real, that was a joke we were talking about. We were talking about at Van Park, just how funny it would be to do a comedy sketch where it's like two guys doing a drug deal, but like the one guy is like clearly an undercover cop, and then like, at one point, like a microphone falls out of the light of the table and hits like the dealer on the head. He's like, "What is that? nothing." And like, at one point, he's like, "So what do you want now?" When he says "now," like all these cops bust out of this closet, and he's like, "Not now, not now." And then they all scramble back in. The guy's like, "Are you sure you're actually not in there?" He's like, "No, I'm not an undercover cop." Like the whole thing.
Saturday
like,
Night Live.
Yeah, that could be pretty funny. Anyway.
That could be on Saturday Night Live or something.
Yeah, you should send him a
It was like under the rule of Charles I, and he wasn't well liked by a lot of people. He was a Protestant, I think, or was he a Catholic? I'm just getting confused. Pretty sure he's Protestant. I think Catholics are pretty much went out of vogue with Mary. And they took a bunch of gunpowder and packed it into this cellar that was right underneath the Houses of Parliament.
Okay.
And they were going to have a session with Charles when he comes in and does his like yearly thing.
Yeah.
And it got real close. They stopped it the day of, I think. They caught him and prevented it from happening. And,
wow.
And if they had pulled it off, it would have been an interesting day in history for sure. So I actually saw they did a recreation of
did they use like Prince Charles?
No.
That would have been cool. But they didn't like a successful recreation, like blew Prince Charles up. Like, and that's how it was supposed to have been done.
But yeah, they did a recreation of it a few years ago on British TV, and to find out if they would have had enough gunpowder, because they knew how much gunpowder there was, and they knew what the building was, you know, constructed of and stuff like that. And they had monitors in there and everything. And when they let it off, it just leveled it. There wasn't even, the monitors were even blown up. There wasn't even any information for them to analyze because it was just leveled. I mean, it was gone. I've got the video. I mean, it's pretty awesome to watch. So,
stuff blowing up.
Oh, I love, yeah. That's one of them. Anything that blows up, 5 stars, 5 thumbs up.
So, Hindenburg.
5 thumbs up.
Over the humanity.
Over the huge manatee.
This recording was intended as a tribute to the early pioneer days of
music. We're proud to have been able to bring this milestone in scientific achievement directly to you live. As it happened.
Range 1700. Range 1800. Range 1900.
Power control, put DC remote. All the tracking stations are ready.
All this grass is making you itch. Well, Little G is making me itch too, I guarantee it.
I love it though.
Oh, here's just a lot of superstar. He has something that he wants to most definitely tell you.
Almost any cartridge and tone arm system should be able to track the first level of each band that it's rated tracking for. The second level is the same passage of music recorded 6 decibels higher in level than the first, that is, at twice the recorded velocity. Following the second level are 3 more levels, each recorded 2 decibels higher than the preceding one. This means that the fifth level of each trackability band is recorded 4 times or 12 decibels higher than the first level of each band.
We are talking to you from the Time Machine Control Center. The rocket has been launched, which, for the first time, will take man millions of years back in time.
Into a new ionosphere. Moved us into a new zodiacal plane and brought us through horizontally into a new zionosphere. Ladies and gentlemen,
former governor of New Hampshire and the former ambassador to Britain committed suicide by shooting himself in the head with a large 60-cent-sized package of Alka-Seltzer.
Am I going mad? I'm scaling this wall just as easy as I can walk. I'm like some sort of giant insect, like a wall-crawling human spider.
Battle coming up.
When? With who?
This is a different kind of battle, and I have to train just as hard. Eat the right kind of food, and good, healthy exercise won't hurt either.
Well, take me in with the berries.
That you find this arrangement
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity.
All material is copyright.
I always thought their music was fairly generic. Something generic about them. That...
Man, you are an insane person. You know that?
Yeah.
You think Reanimator was a forgettable movie? Now you're saying, you said, you know, that they sound like, they didn't sound like anybody when they came out. If any reason they sound like anybody now, it's because everybody after they came out started mimicking them.
Right.
Okay? When they came out, they didn't sound like anybody. And Mike Patton has consistently, through his career, always changed up and always been one step ahead of everybody else. So how can you say that the innovators sound like everybody else just because they've been mimicked? That's why they're the innovators. Yeah, you know what? The Beatles sound trite and played out now, too, in retrospect. I think you're being real. I think a lot of times you don't realize how insanely unfair you are with some of these statements you make because you're so completely off the deep end.
Yeah, I'm just giving my opinion. I mean,
well, sometimes your opinions can be wrong.
Yeah,
and I think in this case, one of those times.
I just never thought they were all that. You know,
that's different. You can say it's not your cup of tea, but you can't. I mean, like. You know, honestly, the Beatles are not that. I don't really care for the Beatles.
Yeah,
there are a couple of songs I like, but they're not my cup of tea, but I admit they're innovators. I'm honest enough to admit that, hey, yeah, they did something that no one else had done at the time.
Right.
And they had an indelible impact on music. I think you're being unfair when you say Faith No More didn't, because they did.
Oh, I never said they didn't.
You just said, just a second ago, that they didn't create that they sounded like they sounded generic, and you never thought their music stood out.
Yeah.
You just said that.
Well, it doesn't stand out in my mind. I mean, I grew up in that time period, and
Which is it? Did it make an impact or not? It
didn't make an impact on me.
That's not...
That's all I was saying.
Okay.
So, I don't know, it sounds like, you know, like Guns N' Roses or something to me, I mean...
Really?
It's the same kind of whiny...
It must be the Guns N' Roses keyboardist that they... Oh, wait, they don't have one. In fact, most bands at that time did not. In fact, the keyboardist died with the 80s. They were the first band in the 90s to bring a keyboardist back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all over all their music. And his lyrics are like way completely different from what everybody else. Everybody else was writing about something else, and he's writing, like everyone else is writing goofy love songs, and he's writing about songs you're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah.
And Mr. Bungle. Would you say Mr. Bungle sounds traditional and dated? Because it was pretty much...
I don't know that song.
That's a band. Well, in this case, your opinion's wrong. Mike Patton is consistently considered by critics to be one of the most innovative musicians of the modern era.
I mean, that song, I couldn't even listen to it because there wasn't anything in it that hooked me. And there wasn't any sound to it that made me think, you know, this sounds different. I mean...
It doesn't sound different now. You're being jaded.
No, I think even in general, I mean, it doesn't really sound like anything like from the 80s. I mean, it just sounds typical, like typical guitar work and typical drums and, you know, whatever.
I think that Queen song you played was much more generic.
I think it has a lot of generic qualities to it, but I just like the change-ups in that song. I think a lot of Queen sounds generic to me, too.
So let me get this straight. You think that Mike Patton's pop song about cannibalism...
Is that what it's about? I don't know. I couldn't pay attention to it.
That's because you don't pay attention to lyrics.
I know.
Anyway.
Maybe that's what's cool about Faith No More is they got these awesome lyrics, even though I can't hear them because the music just doesn't grab me.
Wow.
I mean, if I don't hear the lyrics. If that's all they got going for them is the lyrics.
Okay, and he made Epic, which was about masturbation, way before U2 made their Staring Off. And that was a big hit. I mean, that was, like, played everywhere.
Yeah. You know.
I can understand it not appealing to you, but I can't understand you not recognizing the innovation. That's what I think.
I'm just not familiar enough.
That's what I can't get past.
I'm just not familiar enough with it. And, I mean, if they innovated something I don't like, then, I mean, that's, I mean, if there are 100 bands that sound like them now, then I doubt there's many of them that I like, too, so, I mean, But I mean, you know, whatever. So. So, that song, I'll give it.
No, we're talking about just Faith No More Band.
Oh. Say what?
Because they have fries. I'd do it for the toast shit.
or the ticklers and the kissing.
What? Oh.
Nah. French toast.
French tickler. French kissing. French.
Yeah.
Freedom. It's freedom kissing now.
Yeah. Is it freedom tickler.
Freedom tickler.
What is it? Is that what it's called? Is that what they call it at school? We're going to go freedom tickle each other? Wow.
That would be like the technical.
No, but, I think that's what Bush is doing to the country.
Yeah.
Freedom hell no, that nigga's leading us into a World War III.
Yeah, you know, but we're laughing the whole way.
I know. Well, I'm laughing.
When's the last time you saw someone with a yellow ribbon on the back of their truck going, man, this war sucks? They're all like, yeah, let's go bomb some Arabs. Woohoo!
Yeah, really.
So we get bombed.
Everybody's leading into World War III.
We're going to die. No, we're not. We'll survive.
So, yeah.
I don't think so.
French.
Yeah, pretty boring, huh?
The Seven-Year War.
Hey.
So what if you film it? What if you filmed every one of those cows?
Yeah, that
dying?
Is a good point. Everyone freaks out about, you know, like every time you film, you know, eating the animals, that's somehow like filming it. I guess it's because filming it feels exploitive.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to eat it, it's another thing to
of course eating it's
revel.
Not exploitive.
I think well eating it seems more necessitative than, you know, filming it.
Yeah.
Filming it in and of itself seems more like you're in like almost domination type, you know, mentality going on there, like, look, I killed this thing, you know, as opposed to I ate this thing because I needed nourishment. You know what I mean? I think that's probably a big part of it. To give people like the PETA nutcases the benefit of doubt.
What about Dr. Zeus?
Oh, she's sex.
She
Dr.
Ruth?
She is.
Dr. Ruth!
We used to watch her in Germany. We only had one TV channel.
Did she do the show in German?
Oh, no. She did it in English.
Isn't she German?
Yes, but it was AFN. Armed Forces Network. She'd do it over there Friday nights.
Oh, she'd do it over there.
It was crazy because she was German and she was doing it in Germany, but doing it American. And she taught me a lot about sex when I was 14. That's all I got to say. Let's just skip it.
Yo, you know that movie Breaks with Ozone and Turbo?
No.
What?
I'm sorry.
Do you?
Uh-uh. That was a classic face.
Do you know it?
Classic face, Mr. Tried. No.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. It was a movie about them break dancing.
That's like if you knew the damn...
Ozone and Turbo?
The rap movie with damn Mario Van Peebles in it, where he rhymes about purple. It's whack.
What?
Mario Van Peebles is in a rap movie where he's rhyming. He's the MC. He's
the
star of
the show. That shit. Have you ever seen Annie Be Real?
No.
Y'all need to go see that shit. It's about this girl that write poetry and shit. And she's just in high school and shit. And man, the older she got, to like, you know, her senior year. And her brother's selling, should I be telling y'all? Yeah, her brother's selling her rhymes to this rapper and he blowing up off of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's off the chain.
That's a really cool concept.
That is a cool concept.
Speaking of rap and movies by famous actors, I just saw Dragnet. Did you ever see the remake of Dragnet, like in the 80s?
No.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks and... Yeah.
That's a great rap song that they
did. At the end?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's like the weirdest thing I ever heard.
Yeah. It's so well written. It's terribly dumb, but it's so well written given what they're doing. You know what I mean?
It's beyond, like, but it's so good because it's beyond bad, you know?
You would never expect, and Dan Aykroyd's like the whitest white
man. He's also
man.
Trying to sound like his character, too.
Well, that's part of it. He's trying to sound like Joe Friday. He's like,
he's the,
I am Joe Friday, and I'm here to say I'll bust your ass in the USA, you know?
Once in a while, maybe you will feel the urge to break international copyright law. by downloading MP3s from file sharing sites like Morpheus or Grokster or LimeWire or Kazaa. But deep in your heart, you know the guilt would drive you mad, and the shame would leave a permanent scar. 'Cause you start out stealing songs, then you're robbing liquor stores and selling crack and running over school kids with your car. So don't download this song. The record store's where you belong. Go and buy the CD like you know. You burn that CDR. It doesn't matter if you're a grandma or a 7-year-old girl, they'll treat you like the evil, hard-bitten criminal scum you are. So don't download this song.
Hide a video camera in my bathroom and
whoa, dang.
That wasn't actually my idea, but it did happen, and unfortunately.
That's pretty hot.
Oh, we did catch a good friend of ours, though.
Wait, are you serious?
Swear to God, he was drunk. Yeah, we used to have parties all the time back in the day.
I thought you were joking. So you're serious. You actually did hide a camera in the bathroom.
Yeah, we had a big party one day, and we just said, fuck it, just put the camera in the bathroom, put it underneath something, and you didn't really, it was just people in the bathroom. Had some females in there. You know, your basic shit you do when you're 17, 18 years old.
I never did that.
Oh, well, shit. I was ahead of my time. Anyways. One of our friends was really drunk. Hold on one second.
Sorry.
One of our friends was really, really drunk. And he just kept knocking everything over and shit. we reviewed the tape, like, maybe a day or two later. He was pouring his beer in the sink every time. So he was acting drunk. He wasn't even drunk.
Weird.
That was a waste of fucking beer, first of all.
What the hell?
Who's just acting?
I mean, even if you just had a beer the whole night.
Yeah.
You know you had
exactly.
It was still this first one.
We kept fast-forwarding until he got back in the bathroom over and over, and he just kept pouring the beer in the sink every time.
Weird.
He was in there. He wasn't even pissing. Was, you know, crazy, huh? That's fucked up. Yeah, we were good friends. We still are, but we rag on him all the time.
How about that?
Yeah, like, dude, you weren't even drunk, man.
It's not that funny, but it's strange.
Tell me again, what prompted you to put the camera in the...
Being drunk.
Again?
Being drunk.
Oh, you were drunk, so...
Yeah, we were drunk. Yeah. So we were like, oh, we put the camera in there.
But you weren't drunk enough that you were you know, unable to hide it apparently.
Oh,
from a sober person, no less. You
right.
were able to hide it pretty
we
well.
Were, yeah, we hid it. Perfect. It was
did you
perfect.
Did you get any like
yeah,
hot footage?
Some ass footage. It was good. Did I say out loud?
Where was the camera aiming in the bathroom?
It was close to the toilet. If I remember correctly, the sink was right there. The toilet was right next to the sink.
And then we were behind.
It was in the corner. Yeah, it was in the corner by the closet.
You saw the tape?
And
I am never going to go to the bathroom in your house, ever.
Too late. We got you on tape.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. That was way long ago, man.
Okay.
That was a long time.
I haven't done that in at least a week.
I think we all agree about how the a lot of the stuff that's like MTV and stuff like that, and all the negativity. What's interesting, though, is that it can encompass all that, that it can be the true school stuff. And that's the one thing, I mean, I usually dissing most of those guys, too, but at the same time, I do think it's cool that it can go those different places, even though I don't necessarily like the places they go, the fact that it is able to go that, because not many music forms can do that.
Now, if, all right, let me make one interjection with that. Like, I don't mind if they go a certain direction with their music, so long as they're going that direction because they're going that direction.
Oh, I know what
okay?
you mean.
Yeah,
well,
now see,
I
like,
think any popular genre is going to have just people that suck and are taking advantage of the medium, you know?
You have people like Cassidy, which is like a private listening pleasure of mine, who on his album, you know, I'm a Hustler, where he talks about all sorts of ridiculous things, like that I do not condone, nor would I like play around my children or my parents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the way that he delivers his rhyme, I mean, like, his rhyme schemes, I mean, it's really immaculate, you know? It's not completely, like, whoa, but, I mean, like, the way he delivers a lot of his songs, you know, it's immaculate, and, like, you know, I like listening to it every now and again. But then you've got, you know, cats that, you know, they have an A&R, or the person, you know, they're I don't know, who the hell says what they gotta have on their albums, man? Because, I mean,
what happens is the record labels have they have market research they do.
Yeah, they say,
based
on
market research, they basically create a contract that says, we expect you to do songs on this subject matter or work with these producers because this is
what
we see
will
be successful.
Right,
and people are like, yeah, well, I want to be successful, so that's what I'll do.
And see.
And at the same time, you know, there's this whole kind of people feed into that. It's kind of like the hip-hop lifestyle is compared to the rock and roll lifestyle. The rock and roll lifestyle, you know what I'm talking about? When I'm talking about the guys who trash hotel rooms and they, you know, snort cocaine all day. I mean, most of those guys are living that. The hip-hop lifestyle is like a dream that you're constantly reaching for. You know, they're talking about like, yeah, I got the gold, I got the money. You know they don't really have all that shit, but they're talking about it as if they do because that's the what they consider the hip-hop lifestyle to be, to a lot of people. You know
See,
what I'm saying? I don't think it's true, but
like, I feel as if, like, if you have complete control of any one of those elements of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? That if you, I mean, like, you know, the emceeing, the breaking, the DJing, or the graffitiing, if you have a true mastery of any of those, then and you understand what it means to have a mastery of those abilities, then you yourself, I know, I feel like an alien / monk at times. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like a Jedi. I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like a Jedi because I'm uber persuasive. I mean, one, but two is that, you know, to be able to freestyle and to be able to rip rhymes and to be able to like captivate crowds of people and just like bring happiness out of them and stuff like that and just bring them all together. You know, like knowing that you can do that as an individual, you know, is a lot more poignant of a feeling than knowing that, oh, well, you know, I got this bling-tastic ring and I got this money in my pocket and all this stuff, man. But, you know, when it comes down to it on the end of the day, you have a hard time kicking your shit on stage and you got to have a stage full of whack cats in order to, like,
you don't even rhyme.
Who don't rhyme, that are just standing there. And you're paying all these cats just to stand on stage. And, you know, really, everybody in your crowd, they ain't jumping to one cadence. You got cats just jumping around aimlessly like fools. Chaos. You know, whereas hip hop is a harmonious thing, like everything comes together. You know, a B-boy's body could be the EQ of an MC's, you know, rhymes, whereas the MC's rhymes could be, you know, a representation of the DJ's beats, whereas, you know, all of those images put together, you know, are, you know, expressions that a graffiti artist can pull out. You know, I mean, that's, I mean, it makes me mad that people look past all that, the real shit about it, in order to try and get through to the nasty.
Oh, they're cats that hate the culture. I go to Soulseek, I download music, and they have like the hip hop, the underground rap section. You go in there, and I've talked to people. They're like, "Yeah, man, I understand. Like, why people always talk about it ain't hip hop, it ain't got no DJ. That's just so lame. Like DJ, that's like so 1985." And I'm like, "You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. You know, hip hop wouldn't exist if it weren't for Kool Herc."
Dude, the DJ came first.
Yeah, I mean that. Back in the day, it was the DJ, then the rapper. Eric B. and Rakim. Yeah. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Well, it's because the DJ, the MC was meant to merely hype up the DJ. The DJ couldn't talk. He was too busy doing his scientific work. You know what I'm saying? And the DJ came on stage, you know, something to the effect of, you know, "My man Jazzy Jeff, and he's going to bust it fresh. You know, everybody in here, put your hands to your, you know, above your head, whatever. You know. And
yeah, and you can see that in the movies like Wild Style and stuff like that. It's completely represented. Juice. Yeah, that was right on the tail end of that.
And I like 8 Mile too, man. I was a good hip hop movie.
Eminem really came with it. I gained a lot of respect for him. I always liked his music I'm one of those people who I didn't know about him. I'd heard of him, I didn't know, like, actually listen to him until he came out with the Slim Shady LP. I admit that, but I recognized, you know, that he had skill. I still think he's got skill. I think people who hate on him, you know, really for real, are just jealous. And
lately, his stuff to me has been, it's definitely gone over.
He is a one. I the one thing I got against him is he is a one trick pony. He doesn't have anywhere he can go.
Yeah, his shit's pretty much where it's
at. He based this whole thing off a gimmick. He was a really good MC who found a niche, a gimmick that sold really well, and he milked it for everything he could. He's kind of like the Marilyn Manson of hip hop, really, for real.
Jodie Foster's Army is a punk rock band born in 1982 out of Arizona and Southern California skateboard culture. Okay, now, how can we vandalize this?
Oh, they all attempted to shoot Ronald Reagan. You should?
Yeah.
please.
It probably has something to do with that, because, I mean, it was formed right at that time. Yeah. I mean,
well, please put that in as very factually, you know, like,
okay.
A little known fact about the band is that
But if it's true, then it's not vandalism.
I'm sure it's true.
I know, that's the problem.
Joke.
I know. What are we going to do?
Created by the Shapeless Mass Podcast. On this date in history, Jodie Foster is reborn.
Here we go.
She has to hate this podcast, because Ari said she wasn't.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about, like, her trying to kill Reagan. You know, the thing is, I wouldn't mind getting with Jodie Foster. Do you think I could kill Zombie Reagan to like impress her?
Okay, I'm gonna put Bam Bam. Later joined after meeting Pendleton at an industrial dance, which is in quotes, in Phoenix, and bestowed the moniker on the band, which is a reference to his second cousin, John Hinckley Jr.'s attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan.
There you go.
You need to link, if we're going to do this every podcast, you need to link to that historical edit.
Oh, from the from the webpage.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
So people can see it on Wikipedia.
Right.
I think that would be awesome.
Because you can link to those edits.
Yeah, you can. So, you can. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't think of that.
I think I did.
Just now, when I said it.
The good part is I put some skateboard in.
All right, we'll see how long it lasts.
Subliminally, there's some skateboard and putting in there.
You know what you need to do is you need to go do like 25 random, really quick, like one letter edits to bury it.
I've thought of that. I I'm sure they...
Is that tainting the pool?
They've got, like, bots that go through and pick this stuff out now.
How so?
Just people run them on their computer, and it keeps track of what's been changed, and they can see real quick on without actually logging on to Wikipedia. They've got an application on their computer that keeps track of it.
That's insane.
They're putting out more nonchalant commercials saying that you should have X amount of water and X amount of canned goods and shit and a power generator and shit. Like,
do they have commercials?
Oh, the recent one that Rylan was pointing out on his website is they're actually saying right now, the Department of Homeland Security put out a series of commercials that say, make sure you drink a lot of water because it's hot during the summertime and you don't want to get dehydrated. Thanks, Department of Homeland Security!
I mean, you gotta be ignorant and not think the world is getting hotter, too. That's another thing, man. The world is... We're gonna all end up underwater, man. They're just gradually letting that shit by the wayside.
Hi, kids. Please remember to send all emails to SirMildredPierce@gmail.com and EBAOFVN@gmail.com.
Fire, man. That's my shit. Ah, it screws you up, huh?